Gimel Kislev, Wednesday the 10th of November, Rabbi Joseph Feilich, Achieving Positive Simcha, Part 2.
Well, last time we spoke about Simcha, and we said the first thing we have to do in order to get Simcha is to avoid the things that prevent us from having Simcha. You remember we spoke about avoiding kas. Anger gets us very upset. We can't have simcha. Jealousy. Feeling that we have to have what somebody else has to have. Various things that stop us from having simcha. But today I want to talk about the positive aspects of simcha. How can I positively get simcha? Because it's very nice. I don't get a kas. I'm not jealous. Okay, that makes me that I'm not unhappy. But I'm not necessarily happy either. I'm just sort of in a neutral position. And for most people, this is sort of their default position. You know, if you ask them, you know, how are you? You know, Baruch Hashem. Better not to ask, but you always hear this answer, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's okay, you know. I always say, what do you mean, okay? Is that all it is? Just okay? You know, a cow is also okay. If a cow is in the field and it's got good grass and it's not hungry, it's okay. It's not unhappy, but it's not happy. No cow is, I've never seen a cow that's happy. So we've got to learn how to develop positive simcha, have an awareness and an excitement, and to realize how much we've got to be happy about. And it's very strange that very often the people who've got the most to be happy about, they are the least happy. So how do we become happy? And this week's Seder is a sort of a good week for that. Last time we were in Parshat Kisomo, which was all about Samachto and Tachas Hashem Avaratos Hashem Lekecha B'Simcho. And I told you, if you remember, that in the whole of Sefer Bereishis, Simcha is mentioned only once. And this week, this is the Seder in Bereishis where Simcha is mentioned. Where's Simcha mentioned this week's Seder? You don't know. Well, I'll tell you, then you'll be happy. Oh, that's right. But there wasn't any simcha there. But just Lavan says, why did you run away? If you would have told us, we would have made you a party. We would have sent you off. We would have been simcha, right? But you know, it would have been with music and everything. There would have been positive happiness. So the question is, how do we become positively happy? Now, we know this term of being Sameach Bechelko. Sameach Bechelko, very important midah. First of all, it makes you wealthy. Ezo Osher Sameach Bechelko. And secondly, it gives you Torah. It's one of the people who always forget this. It's one of the Memches Kinyone Torah. Vilcha Sameach Bechelko. If you want to really achieve Torah and grow in Torah, you have to be Sameach Bechelko. Somebody who's not bestowing Sameach Bechelko and is all the time, you know, intentional, you know, he'll never have the cup to learn. You've got to be Besameach Bechelko. Now, the point is that many people, you ask them, what does it mean to be Sameach Bechelko? And they say you've got to be satisfied with your lot. Now, that's exactly what it doesn't mean. Sameach doesn't mean to be satisfied. And Sameach means to be happy with your lot. You can be Sameach and not satisfied, and you can be satisfied and not Sameach. Right? It's very, very easily done. As you said, many people are satisfied, you know, but, you know, they're not, they haven't got a positive simcha. Like we said, the people who, they're okay, I'm fine, you know, but they're not excited, they're not besimcha. And then there are people who can be besimcha and yet not satisfied. You know, somebody once asked me, a little bit of my time made him, said, you know, this business of being Sameach Bechelkoi, you know, if people are always satisfied with what they've got, then you never strive to get anything else. You never want to improve yourself anyway. You never want to, you know, I mean, the whole economy would come to a standstill if everybody was satisfied with their old furniture and the old car and with the older thing. You know, I don't need it. Yeah, I'm satisfied with my old clothes. You know, I don't need a new suit. You know, I'm satisfied. You know. So, you know, is it even a good thing to be Sameach Bechelko? And I told him that, no, you don't have to be satisfied. You've got to be happy with your lot. But you don't necessarily have to be satisfied. And a person could say, listen, we're living in a three-bedroom house, but you know, the family has grown, Baruch Hashem, over the years the family has grown, and we just can't really manage this. We really need to have a bigger house. And I've got to try, I've got to strive, get together, get my act together, get the money, get my wherewithal together, to be able to have a bigger house. I need a bigger house. I'm satisfied with a three-bedroom house. You don't have to be satisfied with it. I need something more. That's okay. But you mustn't be unhappy the whole time. Oh, the terrible house I've got, this three-bedroom house. And you make yourself, you get emotional about it. Yeah. And you feel yourself unhappy. Yeah? That's no good. You can still be happy. Baruch Hashem, listen, I've got a three-bedroom house. Other people haven't even got that. People live under the bridge. People in Pakistan get their whole homes washed away by floods and things like that. I mean, there's things going on. Baruch Hashem, I've got a three-bedroom. I've got a lot to be happy about. And even if my house is a bit small, Baruch Hashem, I've got my health. Baruch Hashem, I've got my family. It's just because my family has grown, and that's why I need a bigger house. But Baruch Hashem, I need a bigger house. So you can be happy with what you've got, but at the same time, I feel I need something more. It's a mental state that I feel. I've worked it out. I need something bigger, and I've got to have something else. But I can still be happy with what I've got. And think of Baruch Hashem, all the other things. Okay, my house is a bit small, but I've got this and I've got that. So many different things I've got. Don't be unhappy. It's sometimes not so easy. Easier said than done. And if somebody's got a trouble, or somebody's got a pain, and they say, listen, you've got pains and that, but be happy. Look, you've got many other things. You know, it doesn't always help. You know, somebody's got a terrible toothache, and you say to them, listen, don't worry about your tooth. You know, Baruch Hashem, you've got 31 other teeth, that are helping you. You're not giving any trouble. You know, it won't be very much comfort for him. So, we've got to. But there are great people who've managed, even in times of trouble, but after you have to let it be in the Haim and Zayid, in the time of trouble, but you say, listen, Baruch Hashem, it could be a lot worse. That's it. I had once at a Talmud who was a doctor. He was a bit of a funny doctor, and he was in emergencies at night, and a fellow came in, and he broke his leg or something, and he was complaining, and the doctor said, listen, it could be worse. Said, what do you mean it could be worse? So it could be my leg. The question is, in order to be happy, to be positively happy, how do we do this? How do we achieve it? And it's not easy. I must tell you, you think to be happy, everybody wants to be happy. Yeah, we all want to be happy. But it's not an easy thing to do. It's a big avoider, and it's very, very hard work. And you've really got to work on yourself. So the first thing, tonight I'm not going to give... today. Say this weather here, mind it's sunny today. It's real night all the time. But today, I feel, I'm not going to give a halacha shiur. It's not a pilpul, and it's not a lomdus. It's just I want to give practical advice on how to be happy. Next time maybe we'll get back to halacha, more halachic things. But today I want to give some practical advice. So the first thing I would say is that we've got to count our blessings. Everybody knows we've got to count, actually positively think of all the things that we are blessed with. Now how do we do this? So one of the first ideas is the Birkas HaShachar, which we have every morning. The beautiful Birkas HaShachar. Now, if we concentrate on them and we think of them, each one of them, we thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu Hashem Akeinu V'Cholom, Parkech Ivrim, opens my eyes, I can see, Baruch Hashem, I can see the sunshine, it's a lovely day, that's not night, it's day, you see a blue sky, you see the faces of children, you see the flowers, Baruch Hashem, I can see. I once heard of Rabbi Victor Miller, every morning when he said the Baruch of Parkech Ivrim, he stopped for a moment and he looked around the room. Oh, I can see this, I can see that, I can see, oh, Parkech Ivrim. Stop for a second and make yourself aware. Baruch Hashem, I can see. Baruch Hashem, I can hear. Baruch Hashem, there's all the things which I've got. So this is Birkas HaShachar. To concentrate on it is a wonderful first step. The Baruch of Asher Yotzah. We just say it, we just mumble it through, we just go through it quickly. But if we think about it, Baruch Hashem, all our system, all our insides are working properly, and the painless and everything, you know, to appreciate it. Very often, it's only when something goes a little bit wrong, when we've got pain and we've got, you know, we need to take antibiotics, goodness knows what. You know, then when we get better, we say, oh, Baruch Hashem, you know, it's gone, but I feel good. But then you make a Baruch Hashem Yotza with Kavona. But if we could get ourselves, you know, so every day, whenever you say Hashem Yotza, be grateful that all your systems are working. You know, this is something which would terrific help. The brocha bakers and nanin. You make a brocha of an apple. You know, if you just take an apple, you take while you're in the middle of reading something or doing something, you take an apple, you bite into it, and you know, and that's it. If you stop for a moment, remember once told after a meal, new Balik Shuva, I told him about making brochas and things like that. I said, you know, you pick up an apple. No, just look at it for a moment. Look what a beautiful thing an apple is. How Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us such lovely food to eat. You know, it's green on one side and red on the other side, and gradually it goes. You know, the artists use apples, and you make a whole painting out of an apple. It looks so beautiful. And before it goes into your mouth, it passes under your nose, you feel the aroma of the apple. It's so nice. And then when you bite it, you know, that crunchy feeling of, you know, that you bite into it. You know, that itself gives you Hanoi, you know, if you just had apple mush. You know, it would be the same food value, and you just eat with a spoon, it wouldn't be the same. But now that, you take your apple as it, you know, like that, you know, it gives you sort of a nice feeling. You know, and then the taste of it, you know, the mixture of sweet and sour, and everything, there's such a lot in it. And then you say, Baruch HaTosh Emet came up, barley pre eats. Ah! Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us this apple. It's such a sign of love, how beautifully he's presented it. I mean, the truth is, you know, that our foods, or let's say our carbohydrates, and all our carbohydrates become digested and get broken down to glucose, and the body uses it as glucose. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu could give us so many different forms of glucose, where you have potatoes, and you've got starch, you've got sugars, you've got many different forms of glucose. But Kodesh Baruch Hu, they all come to the same thing. So Kodesh Baruch Hu could just have a little glucose tea, with little balls of glucose, and we eat glucose day, every day we eat a bit of glucose. Like that. The point is, it would be very nice, but you wouldn't really feel that geschmack. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us so many different forms, whether you eat a banana, the lovely banana, you just peel it, it just fits into your mouth, or you have an orange, or you have an apple, or you have a piece of cake, or you have different forms. So then when you make a brocha, it lifts you up, and you think, Baruch Hashem, it gives you an extra dose of happiness. Because the more something goes, Baruch Hashem, I've had a good meal, my digestive system works, and I'm going to digest this, I'm going to get the food value out of it, or the calories I'm going to get from this. You know, it's not to be taken for granted. You say, Baruch Hashem, and you're thankful for it. Then again, in life, as we go through the day, we've got all sorts of occasions and experiences which have the potential to make us very happy, but we don't bother, we just go, if we would really think, then we could eke out happiness from many things that we do. I always remember, I might have mentioned to you once, I remember once years ago, I had to fill in a form for something or other, license or whatever, and it said, one of the questions was, have you ever suffered from any of the following? And it had two parallel columns of little boxes, maybe yes boxes or no boxes. You know, have you ever suffered from this? I think no, 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 no. I prayed all the no's right the way down. Then I looked at my paper, gosh, look at that. A whole column of no's. I'm able to take all the no's. How wonderful. Baruch Hashem, you know, some of these illa, I didn't even know what they were, you know, but I didn't know them, so I think no, you know. So it was, you know, Baruch Hashem, I don't know what these things are. You know, I mean, there's yes boxes there. The yes boxes are not there for nothing. And I realize never there's people who suffer from this, there's people who suffer from that, there's people who've got to take some of the other. Baruch Hashem, I can take all the no boxes so you can get happiness out of just filling in a form. You know, even a tax return. I was filling a form and it said, you know, yeah, are you entitled to any of the following benefits? You know, disability benefit. You know, do you have disabled relatives? Do you have this and that? A whole list of things for which you could claim benefits. You know, and I ended up with, Baruch Hashem, I'm not entitled to any benefits. You know, Baruch Hashem, it's wonderful. So that itself, you know, can give you a simcha. So then, I remember once we used to go on holidays to Bournemouth, and I had to rent a house for a couple of weeks for our whole family.
And they used to just see from the adverts, they used to ring up the people. I remember once I spoke, it was a couple that said, an elderly couple, they had a house and they were going away on holidays themselves, so that we, so we could have their house. So it sounded okay on the phone. And I said, you know, I think I'd like to take your house. But I said, could you do me a favour? Just send me a couple of photographs, you know, the outside, the inside, the kitchen, the dining room, the bedroom, and just so I have some idea. Yeah, no problem. A couple of days later, you know, the photographs arrive, and so very nice kitchen, very nice bathroom, everything. And then, you know, it's a photograph of the dining room, and very, very menschlich, you know, like old Victorian couple, you know, there's a table in the middle, and there were six place settings, you know, very nicely, you know, around the table, nice and neat. And I thought, oh, hey, must be this nice old Victorian couple, you know, nowadays, which going to sit around a table, you know, they're all, you're watching television and you're just, you're eating in the dark and you're having television meals and you're, you know, it's a different one. No families sit around a table. It's hardly a family that sits around a table ever, the whole family together. So I thought, very nice, you know, Baruch Hashem, these are people who come together every evening and they sit around the table. Then I turned over the photograph, and on the back it said, the dining room at Christmas time. And I thought myself, I never, you know, once a year they have Christmas, you know, they have this, you know. And I thought, Baruch Hashem, we sit at a table with our children every Friday night, we sit together, we Shabbos morning for lunch, we sit together, we sing some meals together, we are happy, we say Torah, it's a togetherness, and we talk to the children. Yeah? We have this every Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, we've got Christmas 100 times a year, we have Christmas. So it's Baruch Hashem, you know, so a thing like that, you feel, oh, you know, Shalai Sani Goy, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, I'm a Yid. I mean, every morning we say it in the Beit HaStrachet, Shalai Sani Goy, Baruch Hashem, Shalai Sani Goy. Think what it means, you know, Baruch Hashem, we're Yidin. You know, and when you make a bracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah, you get an Aliyah, Shabbat HaBonim, Mikol HaAmim, and Nosim, and this Torah site. If Rabbi Hashem hadn't given us this Torah, we would be exactly the same. We would just have Christmas once a year, instead of 100 times a year. So we would be in the same boat. So if we concentrate, even if you make a brocha, you get kol of an aliyah, you know, we make a brocha before we make Abshah, Nosra, Tyrus, Emes, Chaye Oilam, not Abisal Chenu, he's implanted everlasting life. What does it mean, Chaye Oilam, not Abisal Chenu? What does it mean, everlasting life? Do we live forever? The point is, the Tyrus, since the Tyrus is Emes, this is the real way of life, so this is something which we can pass down to our children. And our children will pass it down to their children. We live, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren will live in exactly the same way. It's a system of life which can go on forever. This is a chaye olam. The goyim, very often, they think of ways of living. Intelligent goyim think that this is a good way to live, this is a good way to live. But they dream up certain things and they can't pass it down to their children. The children, the grandchildren live in a different world altogether than they live. We, Baruch Hashem, has given us a Torah's Emes, and through that chaye olam, not have a sacheinu, is. So we have to feel this feeling of happiness, and then if we daven, if you just concentrate, if you're able to concentrate, not so easy to concentrate, but you try, you know, you say, Ashreinu ma toif chelkeinu, how happy we are, ma toif chelkeinu, ma ron dor aleinu, Ashreinu shanachu mashkima marivim, Baruch Hashem, we get up every morning, we can go to davening, we can go to a shiur, we can come to start the day the Torah away, how happy we are, such nice people giving shiurim, and start the day the Torah away, you know. Ashreinu ma toif chelkeinu, you know, this is something wonderful. So why is it that it's so difficult? We've got all these props to help us. And the great problem is that it's hergel. That when we do it every day, you know, you make a brocha every day, and you say the tefillas hashachar every day, that somehow, you know, you just come, it's the same thing day in and day out, the same brochas, the thing, and you don't really concentrate. And it's sort of very, very difficult when we do something regularly to try to concentrate. I remember when I was telling my friend how wonderful an apple is, and you make a brocha, it makes you so happy, you know, and one of the Talmidim said, you know, that's a beautiful idea, it's wonderful, but couldn't it happen that if you do this all the time, every day, that after time, you know, you do it automatically and you don't think about it anymore? And I said, well, I suppose, you know, that could happen, you know, he tumbled through it. But this is the trouble, that, you know, when we do it as something every day, then you don't feel anything. And we only feel when there's a change. I mean, this is human nature. This is even physically, we only feel when there's a change. I mean, if I put my kapal on my head, I can feel the kapal going on. But once it's on, now it's been on for the last half an hour, I don't feel. I can't tell you whether I've got a kapal or not. And you touch something, you don't. If you keep the stimulus there, the same stimulus, then if there's no change, you don't feel anything. So you have to try to get some sort of a change. And one of the best things is when you're learning in Limud Torah, every day you're learning something else. You're not doing the same thing every day. You come to start the day the Torah way. Every day you've got another speaker. Every day you've got another subject. So you're changing every day. This is something which is a tremendous help. And from this, you can manage get a tremendous simcha. And if you can manage to eke out this simcha, you know, it makes a person, we learn this, I mean, the doctor can tell you, if somebody who's got a happy disposition, you know, it actually enhances your health. I mean, unhappiness and frustration predisposes people to heart conditions, to strokes, and to generally to a shorter life. So being happy, being sameach, this is something which, you know, it's possibly healthy. You go to the doctor and he'll tell you so. So we've said, you know, how we should sort of try to be happy. Now the next stage is we should try to make others happy. Right? This is a very important aspect of happiness, to be mesameach other people. There's a well-known Gemara in Tanis, somebody was walking in the marketplace and he was looking around, one of the Chachomim, and he was wandering around and looking at who here is a Ben Olam Habo. And I think he mentioned, he met Eliyahu Novi, and he said to him, tell me who here is a Ben Olam Habo. And he said, those two people over there. They looked like very ordinary people. And he went over to them and said, excuse me, what do you do? What's your job? And he said, we are Batchonim, you know, we are comedians. And we go around, whenever we see somebody a bit unhappy, I think we go and we make a joke with them, and we tell them, and they get us, put a schmeichel on their face, and we make people be, instead we inject a little bit of happiness into the world, you know, this is what we do. And for that they get Olam Habo. So sometimes if I make a joke here or something like that, you should know it's not, I'm just doing it in order that I get a little bit of extra Olam Habo, and you learn something, and I make you happy as well, I mean, mesameach you, so I get a little bit extra. And you know, Chazal say, you know, and even Halacha, you've got to be mesameach. Somebody marries two women, then you've got to be mesameach with each one separately. Each one has got to have their shivis yimei amishta, ein ma'arvin, simcha v'simcha. And of course, you know, in many things, we've got to be mesameach, chosin mekala, you know, all these things. You've got to be mekabel kol adam b'seva ponim yofos, you know, greet with a cheerful smile. Create a little bit of happiness in your surrounding. But of course, you know, the greatest simcha is the simcha shel mitzvah. You know, when we're doing mitzvahs, and we get simcha out of a mitzvah, not simcha shel hoilelus, you know, just empty simcha, you know, people in the pub, you know, they drink a bit, and they laugh a bit, and they joke a little bit. You know, that's very empty simcha. You know, the Pasuk says in Kehelis, he can koil hasirim, tachas hasir, kein sechoik ha-aksil. So the food, you know, they laugh, you know, it's like the cracking of thorns under a pot. You know, it's meaningless, it's nothing. I remember I was once in a place in Israel, like a Tanakh park, and they showed me serum. They said, these thorns, these are serum, they're a special kind of a plant, and when they burn, you know, they crackle and they make a bit of a noise, and they just go, and they make a big noise, you know, but it lasts for a minute and then it's burnt out and then it's all over. And I thought, really, I must check that. And I took a branch of a thing and I set a light to it, about a match, and it tacked away, and after a minute it was all over. So the posse is telling you that if you burn these things under a pot, yeah, what happens? You burn under a pot, it makes a big noise, but the pot doesn't even get lukewarm, you know, from these serum. It achieves nothing. Right? So it's sort of, that's empty laughter, which achieves nothing. the simcha of a mitzvah, this is something which gets you somewhere. And to every mitzvah that we do, you've got to do it with zrizus, you've got to do it with energy, you've got to do it with appetite. If you do it without that, it's really only half a mitzvah. I mean, if you can't the mitzvah, but you do it without that, to keep it, so you keep it, it's a half a mitzvah. So we've got to do every mitzvah with zvizas. You've got to do it, you know, chilas matzah. You've got to be with the oven, you know, you're not allowed to eat a big meal out of Pesach, but the kedel lechol matzah with the oven. Eat matzah, enjoy it, you know, have it on Shabbos. You've got to enjoy it. Lovely, you eat a meal, machaya, to do it with simcha. This is simcha shel mitzvah. I remember once hearing, there was a mashgiach, one of the yeshivas, I don't want to mention his name, and he was eating somewhere, I don't know what the name, hotel or somewhere, he was eating somewhere on Friday night, together with a Hasidic Shayid. And there was another person there also who told me over this maise, this Hasidic Shayid, he dipped a spoon in the chicken soup, and he said, ah, the Kovet Shabbos Kodesh, and you know, and he ate the chicken soup, and he took the knedel, ah, the Kovet Shabbos Kodesh, you know, and he ate the knedel, and so it went on, everything ate, ah, the Kovet Shabbos Kodesh. And this Mashgiach was looking at this, it got in his nerves, you know, he couldn't stand this sort of thing. And then the Mashgiach turns in and says, what's that here, what's the Kovet Shabbos Kodesh? Does it look Kovet Arboich? And I don't know all the details of the story, maybe if I knew your details it would be a bit different, but as the story goes, I would say, with all due respect, the Mashgiach was wrong. Of course you enjoy the knedel with your boich. How else do you enjoy knedel with your big toe? I mean, that's how you enjoy knedel, right? I enjoy it with my stomach and I enjoy the pleasure of the good food, but that pleasure which I have with the good food, I'm dedicating that pleasure to Eilat Shabbos. I mean, this is what Eilat Shabbos is. To eat nice. Eilat Shabbos doesn't mean say tilim. Eilat Shabbos is eating nicely, drinking nicely, macholim, mishter, and as you're eating it and enjoying it, you do that with the Kovet Shabbos Kodesh. So, you know, this simcha of feeling that we're serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is the greatest simcha you're doing, a mitzvah. You know, I once heard the Shem Rav Shach, you know, it says, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelkoi. Moshe should be happy with his chelik. If anyone should be sameich with chelkoi, it should be Moshe Rabbeinu. Now you think, you know, what would he be happy about? Well, he's got a lot to be happy. He's the manager of Klal Yisrael. He's the one who took them out of Mitzrayim. He did all the nisim for them. He brought them the Torah. He's the greatest Novi, closest to Karoiz. He's got so much, you know, to be happy about. Yeah? And what does it say? Yismach Moshe ki ever ne'eman karos eloi. That's all. That's what he's got to be mesameach about. It's a funny thing. And I heard this b'shem Rav Shach. He said, this is the greatest simcha. If you can be, you serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu and you're an Eved Ne'eman. I mean, Moshe was called Abdi Ne'eman, who, you know, he was called an Eved Ne'eman. For the Moshe to call you an Eved Ne'eman and to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is the greatest simcha that you can possibly have. So, I've got a little bit short of time, but this doing it with simcha, you know, is so important that I just want to quote you a little piece of the Rambam. The Rambam asks the question, this is page Shi of Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says, you know, Tzchar Mitzvah Pai Al Molecher. So you know this, the real Tzchar of a Mitzvah is only in Olam Habo. So he says, so what is it that you find in the Torah the whole time that the Hashem will give you, the grass will grow and your animals will be good, all sorts of things in Olam Hazeh. Everything that you have. You get that. So he says, the Torah promises us that if we do the mitzvahs, now look at the Lashon of the Rambam, you know, I mean, we all know this, that if you do the mitzvahs, then the schar of the mitzvah is that Kodesh Baruch Hu will give us the opportunity to do more mitzvahs. And so he'll give us that we have good panosa, we have good health, that we haven't got, takes away anything which could prevent us from doing more mitzvahs, like famine, or war, or things like that. So Kodesh Baruch gives us the wherewithal to do more mitzvahs, and then, you know, from the more mitzvahs, then ultimately we'll get the schar from those as well, but the ultimate schar is in Olam Habo. So what we get in this world, we get sort of getting compound interest, if you like. We're getting the schar in this world, that we have the opportunity to do more mitzvahs, from which we get still more schar, that everybody knows. But if you look at the Lashon Rambam, he adds one word. He says, "V'hiftichonu b'Torah she'im nase oiso." If we do the mitzvahs b'simcha of the Torah's nefesh, then she'yosim imenu kol ha'dvarim ha'moinim oiso l'milas oiso k'gal choyli milchomo v'rov k'yotz v'zeh. And he repeats it later on again. He says, "Im avaretem z'Hashem b'simcha shematim daka, then mashpir lachem kol ha'brachos Ba'il. So the Rambam is telling us that this promise is only if you do the mitzvahs with simcha and we are happy to do Baruch Hashem and able to do a mitzvah, then the Kadosh Baruch Hu will give us the opportunity to do more mitzvahs. I mean, it sort of stands to reason. If I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm doing it because I'm a chui to do it, okay, I'll be yotzeh and I do the mitzvah. Well, then it wouldn't be very much hard to say, okay, you've been such a good fellow, you've done a mitzvah, I'll tell you what, I'll give you more mitzvahs to do. Mm-hmm. It's only if a Kodesh Baruch sees that we really enjoy doing the mitzvah, we're happy to do the mitzvah, he says, oh, you're so happy to do the mitzvah, I'll give you more mitzvahs to do. So this is the idea of getting simcha out of mitzvahs. And I finally want to say that we have this posuk of when you get married, then for a whole year you're free from all civic duties. And says, "V'simachas ishtai asher lokach." You've got to make your wife happy. Now, it's an interesting thing. This v'simach is a pa form. Those of you that know a little bit of grammar, you know it's a pa form. You make your wife happy. You cause her to be happy. Now, the causative is usually a hifil. You know, pa'il is intensive. Shoma is break. Shibe is to smash the pieces. So it's intensive. You know, how is it causative? And I once said that causative is if you're not involved at all, if you're feeding your child, let's say a machin, a behema, could be Yom Kippur, I'm not eating at all, I've got nothing to do with eating, but I'm feeding somebody else, I'm causing the horse, or I'm causing my baby to eat. That is a hifil. But when we use the pael, it means I'm doing something so intensely that it spills over onto somebody else. So that lomad, I can learn quietly and I'm just looking at it but limade, when I'm teaching, I'm causing somebody else to learn. How do I cause him to learn? I can't cause him to learn unless I'm learning myself. Only I learn out loud and explain it so clearly that somebody else learns as well. So with simach, that means I've got to be happy. I'm at home. I can't be at home for the year and be as glum as anything. And now I've got mitzvah to make my wife happy. You never make her happy like that. The only way to make her happy is if you're happy and if you're getting into a state of inner simcha and outer simcha. You saw everything. Baruch Hashem, you're happy. Then you're spreading happy onto others automatically. And therefore, this is how you make your wife happy, by creating an atmosphere of happiness. Your simcha spills over onto the others. So this is really what we are trying to aim at. Hard work, I say you have to concentrate on the davening every day, looking. Once in Yom Kippur, it's easy to concentrate because it's different words than normal. But the daily words, if you concentrate the Birkas HaShachar, the different brachos that we make, as we say, then if we have a simcha, and we misameich everybody, and you automatically infect other people with your simcha. If you makabel everybody with the save upon in the office, they will be happy. And you find that people who are generally happy, that everybody who's around them is happy as well. You've got this happy disposition, then you find that people will like you. You'll get even your customers will like you, your clients will like you. Everybody, you're a happy person. People take you, and in that way, you make yourself happy, you make everyone else happy, you're spreading happiness in the world, and you're making the whole world a better place.